This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 30th, 2023, the 8th Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Ask what thou wilt, and I shall give thee. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Okay, back to basics homily. We have to understand the basics of our faith. There is nothing more basic and foundational than prayer. It is so frequent and so common, or should be, that we don't pay a whole lot of attention to it. We just speak of praying. Prayer is something that's learned. Prayer is something that is taught. And if it's of the utmost importance, it is nothing less than the breath of our lungs as Catholics. We should be attentive to learning how to do it well, because we don't know how to do it well. The Holy Spirit, speaking in the same chapter that was read today, not the verses, but the same chapter, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit speaks. St. Paul says, the Spirit helps our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. Notice it doesn't say we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit's letting us know you may try, and there's always room for improvement. This is why we have Scripture. We have lessons in prayer. The first reading today, very familiar Old Testament passage. When Solomon is asked by God what he wants, and Solomon asked for wisdom. Whenever we ask God for something, that's prayer. Whenever God speaks to us, it's a dialogue, back and forth, it's prayer. It doesn't always have to be us asking for things. We can tell God things. That is prayer. We need to know how to do it well. And as I said, there's always room for improvement, no matter how long you've been doing it. We get this example for Solomon. It's kind of interesting. The readings that started this morning, it starts, and God spoke to Samuel in a dream. There's some stuff going on before we hear that part. Those verses speak of a background, where Samuel is, or Solomon is. Solomon is, the first thing we hear is, he has taken Pharaoh's daughter as a wife. This is prohibited in God's mandates. You don't take anybody that's outside of the faith as a wife. And he's taken Pharaoh's daughter because he has an alliance with Pharaoh, which is another thing God says we should not do. All right? We hear that Solomon is sacrificing in the high places. These are hill areas. And you know, if you get on a hill, you're closer to God. God has mandated that the only place you give him sacrifice is where his tabernacle may be. It's not on any given hill, but this is how Solomon is praying. He's trying, though. Okay, he's deficient, but he's trying. It actually tells us, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the precepts of his father David. The Holy Spirit, understanding that we don't pray well, he will do things to nudge us along, kind of guide us and direct us in things. He does this in a very, very obvious way with Solomon. Solomon's trying, but he's missing the ball on some things. So the Holy Spirit helps him out. The Holy Spirit comes to him in a dream. And there is this direct discourse between God and Solomon. Why? If he's not doing things right, why is God? Because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, we hear that in the Holy Spirit speaking to St. Paul in the book of Hebrews. If you diligently seek him, you might not be doing things correctly. And like I said, none of us is doing it correctly. There's always room for us to improve things. But if we do it diligently, God will help us out, as he does with Solomon. He gives Solomon an invitation that I think most of us would be, let us just say, envious about. If God shows up to you and says personally, ask what you will that I give you. How about that? What do you want me to give you? All kind of things may come in our minds. But I mean, this is an invitation that God does extend to all of us. Yet, ask me. But he gives parameters in how we should ask him, like the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. This is about, you know, making sure that we ask things in accord with God's will. In Solomon's case, we actually get an example of when you do it correctly. God asks him, what will you have me give you? Solomon, the first thing he does, and this has to do, that acronym that I throw out quite frequently around when we talk about prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then supplications. Three things you should do before you ask God for stuff. And that's adore him, confess your sin before him, confess that you're not worthy to be heard, humbling yourself, and giving him thanks. Solomon does every one of those things. God, that's the first thing you know. I know, I was kind of thinking, if God would like show up to me and say, hey, what do you want? All of a sudden, my mind would go immediately to what I wanted, not adoration. Solomon does, even in his frailty, Solomon does this. Lord, you've done so many glorious things for my father. You've done so many glorious things for me. Here I am. I don't know anything about being a king, and I'm the king of Israel. You know, he adores God for what he does. He gives him thanks for the blessings, not only that he's shown him, but also to his father. He gives him thanks. And then he confesses, I am but a child. The man's not like 4 or 5 years old. He's a young man. Okay, he's a man, he's grown. When he says, I'm a child, I don't understand how to do this. He confesses in humility, I'm being overwhelmed, God. So God gets all those three things from him, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and then Solomon asks for things. We've got to remember that order of things, the proper order of petitions. And in the Lord's Prayer, you know, we see the same thing in the model prayer our Lord gives us. The Lord's Prayer doesn't say, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. No. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, you got the same pattern going on. This is a necessary pattern. You got this pattern. Solomon does it, and then he makes supplications. He asks for things, and he does it correctly. He asks for his spiritual well-being. He just said, hey, God, I want wisdom. I just want to be a wise guy. I just want to be smart. That's not what he does. He asks for understanding. Actually, the Hebrew word is more specific than just general understanding. It is what we translate in English, docility, to be docile, to be able to understand what God says, and then to be willing to implement what he says. This is docility. This is what Solomon asked for. It's a spiritual thing. He asked for understanding, prudence, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. So he's asking for spiritual things. And not only does he ask for spiritual things, he gives reason why he wants these things. I want understanding, so everybody's impressed by how wise I am. No. I want understanding to be enabled to run the government the way I'm supposed to bless these people over whom you have placed me. So it's not just what can you do for me, God? He emphasizes the fact, I want this because I want to be able to judge your people correctly. So there is the spiritual component and a negation of selfishness in our prayer. Again, speaking for myself, when you pray, you can get selfish. And I don't mean selfish, like a pejorative, you know, I want this and nobody else should have. Not that kind of selfish. Selfish in being myopic and not being attentive to the fact that when you're asking God for something, you should actually let Him know why you want it. I don't need a show of hands. When's the last time you prayed like that? When you ask for something and tell Him why you want it. I mean, even if it's a temporal thing, which is perfectly fine, and I would actually suggest a necessity. You got a temporal consideration before you, and you're going to pray for a new job or a promotion. That's completely temporal. God, I want this new job. And you just keep saying, I want this new job. God, bless me. Please let the other people not get the job and let me get it. And all God, you're asking all these kinds of things. That's very selfish if you just leave it at that. Why, if you were God, why do you want the new job? Because I'll make more money. And, I mean, for a lot of us, more money would just be an additional temptation and lead to all kind of problems. Why do you want the, because I'll get more money. And I can use that money to better provide for my family, which is a spiritual thing. Or I can provide more for the church. That's a spiritual thing. So you let God know why, even if it's a temporal thing, why that would better, or why you think that you would benefit from something like this. This is how we should pray. This is how Solomon prayed. I want the new job. Why do you want it? Because it could benefit my family. It could benefit the church, others. Because some little subtle details kind of escape us sometimes. Like in the Lord's Prayer, have you ever noticed that it's not, give me this day my daily bread, forgive me my trespasses, it's forgive us. There is no, well, sometimes it's me and sometimes it's us, sometimes, no, it's always us, because our prayer life as being members of the body of Christ should never negate the influence that it has on others in the body of Christ. So when the Lord gives us a model prayer, Lord, teach us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. It's not all about us. We can't be selfish when it comes to this. Prayer cannot be selfish. Because when it's not selfish, when you let God know, and again, this is a dialogue between us and God. He's not the cosmic Santa Claus waiting for you to ask Him for His thing and just waiting for there, just like the holy Pez dispenser that kicks out whatever you want. There should be reasons, and it's going to be in accord with His will, whether you like it or not. So we need to pray well. We need to pray well. We need to know these subtle things, the order of petitions, and you ought to be presenting to God how it's going to benefit you and others, maybe spiritually. Solomon prayed well, and he got everything that he wanted. Plus, he prayed well. But this puts us on notice that with an example of praying well, there are also times we can pray wrongly. How do you pray wrongly? When we pray to God, it shouldn't be you asking for things all the time. Sometimes you should just make statements to God. A lot of us do that too when we're asking for something. The statements we make were, if you give me this, I'll do this. Or if you give me this, I won't do that. There's really nothing wrong with that, but I will submit to you that it's very, very dangerous, because God will hold you to account. You tell God that if He does something, you'll do something, you better follow through, because that is a tremendous insult to God. You've lied to Him. That's a serious problem. We can't be doing this stuff. An early church father, Isaac the Syrian, don't hear much about him. He's a saint in the Eastern Orthodox Church and considered a saint in some Eastern Rite Catholic churches. But he is an early church father. Isaac the Syrian says this about prayer. Do not be foolish in your request to God. Otherwise, you will insult God through your ignorance. How do you insult God? Through my ignorance. If you have children, or in any way a supervisor in any capacity over other people, if you tell them to do something and they look at you and go, okay, or if they come to you and tell you they're going to do something, you go, excellent, yes, do that. And then you go in their office or their cubicle, an hour and a half later, and they're like doing the exact opposite. You as the supervisor, or you, if it's your child, as a parent, you are insulted by that. They've insulted you. They've disrespected you. They've flaunted your authority over them. It has completely blown you off, basically. That's a problem for us. You know, that insults me. Yeah, it should. Don't do it to God. Okay, because the consequences that he will put on are far exceed anything that you could put on your subordinates. We do insult God if we tell him we're going to do something and we don't do it. The one that kind of really sticks in the forefront of my mind in this whole thing is the act of contrition. I said the confessional. I this, that, and the other thing. Okay, penance. Act of contrition. To avoid the need or occasion of sin. In the next week. Same exact thing. Act of contrition. To avoid the need or occasion of sin. Then the third week. Same thing. Same number. Sometimes even more. Like, you know, I start to worry. I start to worry. When we say that in our act of contrition, not one of us can keep that perfectly. It's basically telling God, you are going to try. But if there is no indication whatsoever that you're trying, and that, well, how can you tell? You could tell if the sins are lessened, if the number goes down. That's the fruit by which you judge that. Yeah, I go to confession all the time, confess the same sins. And you better be very careful because you're telling God you're going to do something and you don't. And when you don't, Isaac the Syrian, you will insult God through your ignorance. That's just around. We got to be careful with that. So, pray well. You not only get what you want, you get it in spades. Scripture tells us, the way God answers Solomon, I have done for thee according to thy words, yea, and the things also which thou didst not ask, I have given thee. God will bless your socks off if you pray well. All right? If we conform our prayer life to the model prayer that we have, if we conform our prayer life to the examples of good prayer, we will receive much, much more than we ask. If you ask in faith, you ask well, and you receive in faith, receive it well, continuously. Maintain your life of faith, because up to this point, Solomon has just been the stellar example of being taught how to pray, praying well, and receiving tremendous benefits. There's always a caveat. Always flee from any person who looks at you and tells you, God's love is unconditional. This book is nothing but conditions. Adam and Eve, why are we in the state we are? Because Adam and Eve were presented a condition in their perfection, and they couldn't adhere to it. Every single thing in our life of faith has a caveat, including prayer. God said, I've given you even what you haven't asked for. And he goes on, and if thou wilt walk in my ways, keep my precepts and my commandments as thy father walked, I will lengthen thy days. Not just meaning you'll have a long life. I will continue to pour out these blessings for you. I will continue to provide for you what you ask if you just follow my commandments and my precepts, walk with me the way your father did. Was David a perfect example in every day of his life? Anything but. But he always repented, and he never made the same mistake twice. He was a hot mess every now and then, but he always fixed it. God throws out a caveat to Solomon, giving you all kind of stuff. If you walk in my ways, it'll continue. Solomon did not do what God said. It isn't a matter of Solomon starting to get lukewarm and it started like sleeping in and not going to temple on Fridays. That wasn't it at all. Like people who kind of get wayward from church and don't come to mass all the time. This is not what we're talking about at Solomon. This guy who the Holy Spirit tells us there has never been anyone with as much wisdom or never will be anyone with as much wisdom is Solomon. And this is what happens to this guy. Solomon loved many strange women, Solomon obviously had a thing for women that were outside of his religion, to the tune of, and I mean this number literally, 1,000 wives and concubines who were pagans. 1,000. Kind of hard to fathom, but this is what this guy's dealing with. All right, when you're the king, you can have that going on. 1,000 pagan women. And he worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Moloch, the idol of the Ammonites. And he built a temple to Chemosh, the idol of Moab. This guy, it's not a matter of becoming lukewarm. This guy engaged in demon worship. It would be bad enough if he worshipped one demon. And this isn't in his backyard. He built a temple so a demon could be worshipped. He facilitated the worship of demons among his wives and his people. There is a huge question mark as to whether or not Solomon is in heaven. I mean, a huge question mark. What happened? Why is this man that has ever or will ever live? And you can look at him and go, that's really stupid, Solomon. I mean, he goes beyond stupid. He knows God. He watches his father. He knows what God will do when you cross him. And he does this. This is where you don't presume on your prayers. God is a God of what have you done for me lately? Well, I adored you and confessed you and I gave you thanksgiving today, but tomorrow I'm going to worship demons. Guess what? That wipes out all that whole adoration, confession, and thanksgiving thing. Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel tells us, if we live an entire life of faith and then we die in sin, you die in your sin. God doesn't go, live most of your life righteously. No, that's not how it works. So this is another lesson we get about prayer. Do not be presumptuous. Even it might appear that God's giving you everything that you want. He is giving you everything you want because you're faithful. You got to stay that way. Because that's where this all ties up. The lesson in prayer here is you pray well, and when you receive according to God's will, that you use it well. You use it well, but you continue to use it well. You continue to use that conduit that is prayer between us and God. You use it well, and you maintain your faith, and He will give you length and days. That doesn't mean you'll necessarily live to be 100 years old. Most of us probably shouldn't want to do that if we want to go to heaven, see the Blessed Mother, and all that good stuff. But at the end of the day, we need to look and say that if we keep that conduit open, no matter how long we're here, we're going to receive these blessings. This is the lesson in prayer. We just have to do it well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.